What's good to my community? This is Levi checking in once again for Creative Ambiance, your favorite podcast covering your favorite creatives and artists from the culture. Confidence is the theme of today's episode, and I can assure you that you'll be hard-pressed to find another artist with more of it than my next guest, Huey Briss. Huey is a rapper and professional life liver, as he likes to call it, out of Grace Park, Long Beach, and he gave us a masterclass on confidence and how you can go about leveraging confidence to achieve whatever it is that you're after. He also went in on a variety of topics ranging from building character, the significance of your network, and much, much more. Let's get into it. Here's episode 86 of Creative Ambiance with Huey Briss.
What's going down, y'all? It's Huey Briss. You now listen to Creative Ambiance.
What up, everybody? Welcome back to Ambiance Podcast. We got the artist out of Grace Park, right?
Yes, sir. Long Beach, California.
Grace Park, Long Beach, California. He reps it hard. Is it important for you to put on for your city?
Mandatory.
What does it mean to you? What does Grace Park mean to you?
Man, that it's just the foundation of how I even got to this motherfucking point. Like, the lessons I learned over there are priceless. Like, Long Beach is like a one of one city.
Bro, I believe it's so true that the city that you grow up in determines the type of man or person you're going to become. Like, imagine if you grew up in like Kansas, you know, you'd be a completely different person than you are now, right?
Yeah, I would definitely be a different motherfucker. Kansas, shout out to Kansas though.
But yeah. It's just a different lifestyle.
Yeah, I would be one of the baddest cow wranglers or whatever the motherfuckers be doing.
Yeah, that life is different. That's why I love artists from the West Coast and even you, because your lyrics are an example of that, because you're rapping about like your lifestyle out here, and you can't talk about those type of things unless you live them.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like that's a big element of your sound is storytelling and just lifestyle lyrics. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah, I'm a professional lifestylist.
That's
my real occupation. Like, aside from rapping, being a dad and all that shit, is like I am a lifestylist to the core. Like, I could show someone how to, like, I don't care if you're a mailman or like if you're a trash man, I can show you how to make that lifestyle look cool.
What do you think is the reason why you put on so hard for Grace Park?
Grace Park is a very unique place in Long Beach. It's like a very niche area. You know, if you're really from Long Beach, you probably grew up on the east side of Long Beach.
Right.
Or you might have went to Jordan High School. You might have, you know, but like Grace Park is like everybody knows where Market and Atlantic is, but not everybody knows that little park that's like right by Elm. It's like on Plymouth and Elm. It used to be a church. The church got burned down mysteriously.
Wow. That's another story.
They gave, in memory of it, they gave it to a lady that worked for the city named Grace, named it Grace Park. I was there since Grace Park was a church. Like, I remember coming to my grandma's house and it was an actual brick church.
Wow.
How a brick building burned down, we have no idea.
That's crazy.
But so I was there in the beginning when it was like Grace Park Boys. It was like a gang that used to be over there, where a group of kids that lived in the neighborhood, you know, essentially put the gang together. I was like the first member of the gang. Like, I was so early from that gang that I didn't even have to get put on, like, jumped in.
Part
like,
of the founding fathers.
Like, dude, I live across the street. Like, I would go call my dad. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Little history lesson from Huey Briss on Grace Park.
Yeah, Long Beach is a very layered city.
Okay. Well, the first time I found out about you was about 4 or 5 years ago, I think it was. You were opening for a Sango show at the Echoplex. Right? When was that? That was 2018, 19?
Around there.
Something like that. And I didn't know who you were going into there. I was just coming to the show for Sango. And I saw you perform and I was like, who is this guy? Because your stage presence, your energy, your passion, like the way that you were able to get the crowd engaged.
Oh, yeah.
I was hella impressed, bro. And I was like, I got to check this dude out. Started listening to your music. And just overall, just realize how much of a good energy and stage presence that you have is stage presence something that's important for you while you're performing live?
Oh, that is the whole performance. That's how I reel in my fan. Honestly, my music isn't worldly enough to like reel you in off bat. You need like a mascot to sell it to you, and like who better than me? So it's like when I'm on stage, that's like my, that's my time to like everything that I ever worked for in the studio, every video shoot, photo shoot, I bring it all there and leave it there, and it makes that shit worth it. Like I didn't just do this shit for nothing. Like I care about the sound. We don't perform to the backing tracks, rappers. Like we take it seriously because that's why like I get paid more than the average person that does shows.
Because of that reason?
Yeah, it's an art form. Like if you're going up there, you don't deserve to get paid as much as me if you go up there and you're lip singing to your records.
Bro, that's so true because you see that a lot with artists not like giving any energy, mm-hmm. just kind of standing on the mic, like mm-hmm. stationary
the whole time. They
deserve to die. Exactly. That's why they don't get paid as much.
Yeah, and that's why the ones that do get paid have to make fucking hits that are like ginormous, 80 gazillion streams just to get a Rolling Loud lineup. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what they got you out here struggling for. Like, when all you got to do is just do a great live show. If you can be known as somebody that could perform at a high level, you might not have to have as much output
as the
normal artist, aka Playboi Carti, aka Lil Uzi Vert, who could take 5 years off from making music and still be a headlining performing act.
And still performing on the same
and
album.
Uzi raps to his backing vocals. But what I'm saying is the way he takes the performance seriously, like what he lacks in an audio aspect, he brings in, you know, in his bravado and his actual who he is.
Like, he's like a rock star.
He lives in his character. And a lot of people are scared to like be that character that they proclaim to be. You know, like, if you don't say you're a rock star, you'll see Uzi jump off the biggest fucking building in that bitch.
And into the crowd.
Come on.
Crowd
like, surfing. He's known for doing obscene things. His show is him.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So with me, Huey Briss is like, my highlights of my show is the fact that, one, who the fuck is this guy? That's a highlight. Because once everybody knows who I am, then the expectations are raised Michael Jackson level.
That's true.
While I'm still an underdog, this is where I could capitalize on hard ticket fans. Okay, go in. They don't know who you are. The best type of food you ate was food you didn't know existed until you had it that time.
That's a bar. That's a bar.
I'm like a meal that you didn't know existed yet till you tried it. And you're like, I feel like I didn't had this my whole life. Like, where have this been? Like, it brings you back to a better feeling. So when you watch me perform, you don't know who he is. He has rapping and no backing tracking vocals, so you can hear exactly what he's saying. His breath control is out of control. He smokes more than the average man. How the fuck is his breath control so good? He's engaging with you, so you feel like you feel seen as a listener. You're not even a fan yet. You're just at this point just a critic.
And it's an experience that you're providing. You know what I mean? It's not just like you're listening to music. It's an experience.
You gotta pay me the top dollar because I'm doing. This ain't Soul Train, baby. This ain't, you know what I'm saying? This is it. Like high level performance. This is like the only thing I'm missing is like choreography and the fucking smoke machines and the light man. Like going crazy and my shit in the back. But it's like if I was performing in 1996, it wouldn't be as cool because everybody was doing that. But now due to the climate of where we're at, an artist like me on stage, I'm like a fucking breath of fresh air.
That's true.
Motherfuckers out here letting the song play and just going,
just going through the motions.
So when you saw me at Sango, the fact that you still even remember where you saw me perform at is just a bar in itself, showing that I brought my daughter out at that show.
I'm
the same daughter who is just now starting her commercial career, and she's doing things like that because of the foundation I set on stage. She's used to seeing a lot of people admire her. That's not new to her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the stage is the Beyonce is Beyonce because her ticket prices are so high. Like, do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, her ticket prices are high because she has a demand. She has a demand because she's known for performing good shows. Usher is literally having a second
residency.
Wind. A third wind. And fucking a residency. Like, the fucking... the nigga already done mastered the industry. Now he's like, fuck it. Let me just make the most lit residency that they've ever seen. Motherfuckers are skating.
It's like Elvis
singing.
Presley style in Vegas, basically.
You get what I'm saying? So that is why he can have a long-lasting career. But imagine if he didn't care about the show.
That's true.
Just imagine if he was just up there lip-singing, not singing to your girl. You know, the controversy that even surrounds his show is why it's worth seeing.
That's true.
It's a lot that goes into why you are a top artist. So like performing is more important than being in the studio. I used to perform. I was such a good performer when I first started that I would rap to instrumentals and just go out there. The songs wasn't out. There was no song recorded when I first started rapping.
It was just
freestyle. I would literally go out and perform in freestyle. Somebody saw me perform and was like, that's dope. Can you do that again? Yeah. Nobody gives a fuck about me. They don't know I'm going off the top of my head. Or maybe I'll have a little verse written, but like...
Yeah, I see what you're saying, because that makes you give them something to remember you by. You know what I mean?
And you can go out and perform 10 times in a row a song that's not out and make it hot. Because you done performed it 10 times different places and they remember like, oh shit, I remember he performed this shit last time. I want to go see him do that one song he did. Is it out yet? No, you can only see him. That'll build more hype. But people don't know that because they don't... Everybody has insecurities or whatever. Most artists are shy. At heart, they're not really stars as they claim to be. So when they get around a lot of people, it's intimidating, bro. So
I mean, yeah, you talk about thousands of people, like
talk about 10 people at your fucking school, at your school pep rally.
That's true.
You're like the more. Actually, it's more nervous when you're around people that know you. That's why the kid that could sing. That's why you get your kid like family reunions and get-togethers are so important. No matter what fucking race you are, you get your fucking family together and you make your kids do embarrassing shit in front of the family.
Build because character. That
you fucking get it.
Yeah.
So that's
bro.
Why the kid who was embarrassed by uncle and da da da, they can go to college and be like, fuck, finally, I'm not around. I could be myself. I'm not. Because they built your character up. You could take a joke. You could take this. You could do this because. When it gets you on stage, the kid is already ready. Valedictorian might not be the best speaker, but they had that speech ready for that day. Motherfuckers built that character up so that they can get up there and do that.
Where did you build that type of confidence? Because you shocked me as just listening from your lyrics and even obviously your stage presence, you have a certain level of confidence to yourself that you kind of just enact with. So like, where did you learn that for yourself?
Failure. I failed more than the average man. I failed in the dark. I failed in the light. I failed in front of family, failed in front of myself, failed so many times. I'm a 9th grade dropout. I'm a literal self-proclaimed walking stereotype.
Sheesh.
I've had a child with a woman I'm not with. I got a baby mom, neck tat when I was a kid, no job, dropped out of school. Name the stereotype. I'm literally that. I'm a rapper. Like, as a fucking African, as an American African, because I'm just an American who's with African descent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an African living in America. You know what I mean?
That's how you like to...
That's important to me because, like, you know, I watched a Dr. Umar interview and that made sense to me. Like, I'm an American of African... I'm not an African American. I'm not somebody that was born in Africa and moved to America. Like, they got you thinking you're more than what you are. You're an American. I'm from Long Beach. Like, I'm not from Africa. Like, I'm from African descent. But,
yeah. I mean, that makes sense the way you explain it like that.
So, that was what I learned from Dr. Umar. But... I just feel like the confidence of failing and seeing the end result before it happens because you've been there builds. That's the best character I could give somebody. Like, go fail. You had to fuck up a few podcast interviews before you
bro,
was like,
tell
I
me about
see
that.
How this has to work for it to go good.
Man, when I listen back to the first episodes or watch them, I look back at myself like, bro, you were ass. Like, what the fuck was that?
And you probably were.
Exactly. And I'm trying to look back in another 3 to 5 years at myself now and be like, you was ass. I want to keep elevating like that.
That's how you do it. That's how you build character. That's how you build growth. Of course, when a motherfucker, you ever seen a motherfucker in jail and then the first day they go in, it's like, you don't know this, but like, motherfuckers go in the first day, they're scared as a motherfucker. They build some character after that year, they come out and they're not scared of shit.
I see.
They could do anything. You ever seen that jail dude, super blasted tattoos? He can walk in anywhere. He demands respect because he's been to hell already. He's been to the lowest point of American poverty, which is jail. Like, you have no rights, and so now he has a freedom, a lease on life. He's gonna go do everything he can, you know. That's why I tell people, like, look at that as if you couldn't travel, as if you couldn't do shit. You could go to Peru right now. Who the fuck is stopping you? You know, you got kids, you got anybody stopping you from going anywhere? Fuck no. Maybe a visa, but go. You know, you could do anything you want. It's you stopping you. That's confidence. When they take away your passport, that's when you're gonna go want to see the world.
Because you don't realize what you got, so it's gone.
Your options are gone. So now you want to go out and see everything. They got to take that shit away from you. That'll build your motherfucking confidence up, knowing the shit could be fucking gone. That makes you fucking realize, looking at people in their eye when you talk to them.
That's true.
Be direct and say, hey, I want to do an interview because my life is short, brother. I don't have a long life. I'm not going to be here 500 years. Like, if I don't get my shit off here on your podcast, on your platform, which I'm grateful to be on, it don't, my life didn't matter. Like, you know, it's almost like no one was there to see it. Did it happen? I got to make sure that people could see what confidence is so that they have an example to be it.
Man.
You're not shit without a reference point.
Bruh, cheers to that. Oh, we haven't even said a cheers yet. Bruh.
Very much
so. You are spitting right now. These are gems being dropped. But it all makes sense. When did you start developing this confidence for yourself? Like, obviously, you know, you said through failure, you've been through some shit. That experience molds you and builds that character. But when did you start building that confidence for yourself? Around what age?
Around when I dropped out of school in ninth grade, I was involved in a riot at my school. I was going to Baby Jordan, they call it.
Baby Jordan.
It's like Jordan is the main campus, and then you go to Baby Jordan in ninth grade. It kind of develops you for regular high school. We were so bad that we needed another step before you get to high school. Like, wait, let me make sure y'all ready after eighth grade. Hold on. Go to this one first. And it was overpopulated over there, too, so they did that. But moral of the story is when I dropped out of school, I got in a race riot, and my teachers was like, he's so smart, he's so this, he's so that, but he just doesn't, like, it seemed like he want to be here, and I didn't, because the whole structure shit was bad for me, the whole school system was bad for me, it was just, I was ahead of that, like, I was almost like the smart kid who was bored, I was over that, I was just doing shit now just to do it, like, so when I realized, oh shit, you could get kicked out of school. You could fucking not be doing shit and be sitting at home all day going to fake ass homeschools, filling out the back of the packet, praying to God they don't notice the gaps in the fucking pages. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
So that's when I developed it, because I had no choice. And when I dropped out of school, I had to learn. I dropped out of school, but I graduated from life. Like, life, I learned, oh, you can't talk to people that way. They'll punch you in the face.
Dude, you had to literally experience it to learn it.
It's not
like it was taught to you.
Yeah, I had to learn it. Like, people socked me in the face when I talked crazy to them. So you respect people because you don't want to get... I can have a reference point to being punched. Like, oh, shit.
It's like when you touch the stove when you were a kid and burn yourself. Because, like, your parents going to tell you all they want to not touch it, but you're not going to listen until you actually get burned.
You're not going to respect it till you live it. Like, people, I respect skate culture because they're the hardest motherfuckers I know. These motherfuckers beat their bodies up for the love of the art.
That's true. They put their life on the line.
But they could break one little knee cartilage, and that's it. You tear ACL, that's it.
You ever watch X Games or watch dudes just wipe out like crazy?
Of course.
Just fucking...
It's nuts, and it makes me feel like, what did they do it all for if they didn't get to a certain point? Same shit with this. So it's like, when I was at ninth grade is when I realized, oh shit, you better. I faked it till I made it, really. Like, I faked with this bravado and confidence because I had no other choice. I'm a ninth grade dropout. I have no future. You know, like, in the eyes of my family used to drive me down Skid Row and point at people like, I know him. I don't even think they knew these motherfuckers. I think they just was like, yeah, he used to be a cool motherfucker. Look at him now. Like,
just teaching you a lesson?
Yeah, they didn't teach me shit because it made me look at them like, what the fuck? Like, you think that's how you think of me? Like, you really don't think I'm a fucking beast? Like, you think I'm so, you know what I mean? It's like,
so it's at a certain point, you've also had like a certain level of confidence in yourself from the jump.
Yeah,
right?
You had to, because everybody doubting you. What you gonna do, doubt yourself too? Like, just because the world is doubting you don't mean you gotta do it.
That's true.
You gotta make it shake.
And in regards to your music, how I was kind of explaining how, like, I look a few years back at me, at that version of me, and think, like, damn, I'm way better than I was back then. Do you kind of view yourself in music when you look back at yourself, like, 5 years ago? Do you see progression?
I mean, naturally, if you're trying to be better at what you're doing, we should be able to see some type of progression, period. But me, personally, I'm proud of my old work. Like, I'm so proud of it. I was spitting. And at the same time, I knew where I would be at. So I was, like, kind of setting... I was, like, planting seeds in that time.
What do you mean you knew where you were going to be at?
Like even with my daughter, like, I knew I was going to have a child. I was, like, foreshadowing a lot of things that are going on in my life right now, in my Black Wax album, my Grace Park Legend album. Like, I was foreshadowing a lot of shit that's cracking right now. So it's, like...
It's, like, a form of manifestation?
Yeah, but it's, like, is it manifestation if you know what's going to happen?
Okay.
Like, I feel like the point of manifestation is like, okay, you put a hope and a thought out there, you don't think about it no more, and you kind of let the universe do its thing. But like, what if you're the universe? Like, you know, like, if you got to take a piss, did you manifest yourself taking a piss? No, nigga, you fucking drank water, which results in you having a piss. Like, if I work at a certain point, at a certain level, it results in success. That is just facts.
Yeah, it's literally like a fact.
Good people, bad people. You know bad people that are successful.
Oh, there's 100%, no, we all do.
There's no... It's like the Fairly Odd Parents, like, oh, they can't use fucking magic on true love. Like, you can't hate and tarnish true talent. Like, even if it's good or bad. Like, even if he's a good person or a shitty person. Like, you know, like, there's more shitty people in Hollywood than there are good people, but they're all successful.
That's a fact. There's a lot of diversity.
They all work. That's the point. Like, if you work and if you're in the ninth grade, why you think they make grades in school? We can tell a motherfucker's future based off the grades.
Yeah.
It's not he didn't manifest himself being successful. He got good grades. He learned the system of studying, which he took that same system to other avenues in his life. So if you know how to study for a test about algebra, you probably know how to study for a test about your fucking company business shit.
Yeah, because it bleeds over.
And that's why school is important. But for me, I learned how to be a delegator in a professional lifestyle. It's like a people person. Not everybody could do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not everybody got the same doubt. Some people drop out and kids like their parents like, I believe in you. You're going to be great. My parents believed in me as a rapper, but as a person, I don't know. He's a little off the edge. He's a wild card.
Yeah.
So all that pain and doubt and
built you into who
built
you are.
Me into like, okay, cool. I don't care who I'm in the room with now. Like, I could be in a room with Jay-Z or I could be in a room with a janitor. I'm going to treat them both the same. I'm going to treat them like grown-ass men because they both have the ability to punch me in the face.
Oh, that's a good point. So you're going to be the same Huey Briss no matter where you're at.
I'm going to definitely grow my character, but me personally, like, I'm scarred, bro. Like, from the shit I've seen, it's a reason why Vince Staples is so funny, bro. Do you know the type of pain he deals with?
Bro, that's so funny. That's so true.
Do you know what type of funerals he pays for? Do you know what the give back he does in Long Beach? Do you know how fucking, like, loved he is in our city because of the shit that y'all don't see? Y'all see the funny tweets and the funny interviews. That motherfucker is an actual, like freedom fighter for our city. Like, you get what
really?
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I am a up and coming artist who has contact with him. That is unheard of.
That is unheard of.
Not a lot of people that come up in Long Beach could just get to Snoop Dogg, can get to Vince Staples. These are our founding people.
You really got to be solidified, huh?
For sure. So it's like, nigga, when it come down to that, like, look at how painful the pain is. It's like a laugh to keep from crying concept. In Long Beach, we go through a lot of internal pain at a young age. We lost friends from gun violence at a young age. You know, like, at ages we shouldn't be dealing with grief like this. Like, our friends should be dying from, like, maybe getting hit by a car accident at most, not murder. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's a reason why certain people from Long Beach have to be a certain way, because it's a reason why you don't see a lot of people from Long Beach flex and like have jewelry and a lot. You don't
That's
see
true.
Vince Staples with a lot of jewelry. You don't see Snoop Dogg with a lot
Giveon.
Of jewelry. You don't see Giveon with a lot of jewelry, because where we grew up, having a lot of jewelry makes you a target.
Ah, that's very true. Liability.
So if you don't know this is a chrome heart ring or this is that, you know, you could do your thing, but you can't just be like, bust down this. Ah, that you could do it, but you know, you just can't be hanging around.
You're drawing attention to yourself. Yeah. I mean, and we see that now all the day with all these deaths
but
happening.
In Atlanta, you could probably wear your jewelry and do that because everybody having it. And if they do rob you, you just got caught slipping. But it's like in our culture, you don't do that.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you'd rather we judge you by where you live.
Even out here in the area, you can't be doing that. You don't see a lot of dudes out here bust down like in the streets of downtown.
Yeah, that's not a thing because one, you don't want to be showing off to other people who not maybe having it as much as you. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
We gonna flex on you by where we live at. The distance is the flex. Oh, ooh. I live in Encino. You can't come out here. It cost you $60 Uber to come even. That's $120 there and back just to say what's up to me.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a different vibe when the distance out here is the flex. Not the bus down, not the car. Anybody can have a nice car out here. Get on the Turo app. It's not really
That's
hard.
That's a fact.
You know what's hard to get? A house for months.
That is the real flex. It's the quiet flex, too.
Ooh, that is how you kill them. What'd you say? I couldn't hear you because I live so fucking far. All these birds. And the only thing I got to worry about is if a mountain lion might walk in my backyard. You know what I mean? Like, that's the flexes you want to have as a man in California.
That's so true. I never thought about it that way. So actions equal results. You know, you can't what you put manifest, in is what you get out.
You can't manifest a mansion.
That... Because everybody, that's true, because everybody talks about manifesting, and like, I feel like a lot of people have the false sense of, they think just because you're going to say it's going to happen, like, some weird type of energy is going to make it come into fruition. You gotta obviously manifest, but you got to put in the work to make what you manifest, quote unquote, happen.
They only talk about the positive manifesting. They don't talk about the other side.
That's true, because we manifest losses.
They never bring up the other side of the manifestation that didn't happen. What about all the times you prayed to get an audition and it didn't happen? Are you less of an actor? Did you manifest failure? No, you prayed on that. Prayer, manifestation, all that's just the same shit. You're praying that something outside of yourself is going to come and save you and make this happen. You're honestly begging for a miracle.
Literally. And the odds of your miracle happening are slim to none. You're going to die with that dream.
That's your ego. That's another thing. Your ego. You think you deserve this. You can't. People that are confident, you put in 10 years of work in something, bitch, you better pick me.
Right?
It ain't even like, oh, I'm at, it's a reason why Huey Briss could do this and do that and do this. Because he's been putting in work since 2018, since he said that. Before the pandemic, I've been doing shows, bringing my daughter out. That's not new. Like, I blew up because of my kid and the shit I do, but it's like, that's not new. I've been prepping for that for a long time. So it's like, everybody around me is manifested me being great because we work at it. It's like, oh, the manifestation part is like seeing the vision, and then it's like, okay, you know he has a shot. If you knew you had a shot to do something, you would do it. Everybody that's doing it at a high level knew they could do it. It's like, you knew you could go to
you
the
have
NBA.
To have that belief in yourself, because if you don't, bro, like, there's so many obstacles and adversities you're gonna face. You're gonna get crushed if you don't.
And you're not
that
even
belief.
Go see that if you're confident. Like, yeah, if you're confident, it's like raising a kid. You don't see all the shit that people tell you, oh my God, it's so hard. You don't, once the kid gets here and you look in those kids' eyes, you don't see all the fucking drama. You don't see prom night. You don't see that shit. You just see 10 fingers, 10 toes. They work. This motherfucker get pissing shit on this. Okay, cool.
What's right in front of you?
Focus on that. That's how you become successful. I'm not even financially successful, but I'm network successful. Like, my net worth is out of here.
And some can argue that's more valuable than...
I could get shit seen.
You know?
Invisibility is a lot. So it's like, I got to do that for myself. I'm my first client. And once people start looking at shit like that, like, you, your own client, and you know, nobody's going to come and invest in you if you're not doing it for you.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see your humble beginnings. I want to see the whole vibe. And that's how you become confident, because you could see it. Due diligence.
So with this confidence thing, what do you think is the difference between confidence and cockiness?
Your ego. If your ego doesn't match your work ethic, then what are we even talking about here? I know people that have way more money than me, but they can't work worth a lick like me. They just got grandfathered in some gangster shit.
But yeah.
Some niggas could work. And when you work and you actually build it up, now you got a foundation. And you got a foundation, it's kind of hard. It's like Kendrick Lamar. He built such a foundation with his albums that he could put out a freestyle song with Baby Keem and people really embrace it. Because it's like, cool, he's put together such ill foundation that he could have fun now.
And he's at a certain point where he could experiment with whatever and he could afford to do it.
He go listen to five albums. You could go listen to five albums if you want the old Kendrick. He got 6, 7.
Yeah. Ready.
Right now, 2013, 14, he's getting dressed. He's fly. You know, where we in? What year is it?
2023.
I'm way in the past. 2023, 2024.
Well, he got classics. Thomas,
been doing it since then, so.
I feel like, too, the difference between cockiness and confidence is also depends on who you're talking to, because sometimes it's a reflection of the person who's calling you cocky or confident, right? Because there's a lot of people that have envy and they can perceive your confidence as cockiness. So sometimes it's not even up to you how somebody's going to talk to you, right? Somebody could label you as cocky when you're just confident and you can't control it. You can't do nothing about that.
Nah, that's just haterism. But if you're truly a cocky motherfucker, like, you better have the work to back that shit the fuck up.
That's important too.
Like, people want to know, who have you helped? Who have you put on? Like, you notice people are like, I'm responsible for da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, yeah, that's worth being cocky about. You've started careers. You've made people successful. You are worth every penny you're owed. You know what I mean? But
you earned it.
If somebody who has never started anyone's career, who has never helped anyone, never has no leverage in the game because they've been selfish instead of selfless, then they usually crash and burn and then have the most to say about people who actually in the game. It's like a player who gets traded so many times that he get dropped and he no longer in the NBA, and now he just fucking still got his courtside fucking seat so he could go and talk shit. It's like, bitch, you're not in the game though, bro. Like, your opinion is very, you're just a fan.
The outsider.
You know?
Looking in.
But if somebody from the game, if a referee tells me, hey, you need to do this or do that, it's like, okay, cool. Like, I'll take it from him. I'll take it from coach. But the cocky spirit is usually never backed by actual, like, work. Because if you was working, you would know what it took to get here. So you would just avoid situations that would make you act a certain way. Because you're deemed that right because you've worked so hard that it's like, well, he could get a grace period. He could be a little late. He could do this. It's like a little shit like that. But it's like, being a dickhead is another story. Like,
yeah, you're not gonna get far.
Yeah, bro. Like, no one cares about get the job done first. You know, like, you could be a bitch ass motherfucker all you want, but be professional, get the job done, and then be like, yeah, he was weird, but like, whatever, he did the fucking interview, yeah, he was cool, whatever. But
he got it done.
Boom. That you'd rather be known for that. There's plenty of weirdos out here that just get the fucking job done and go home. Like,
that's
you don't
got to
be cocky out all the time with people. Like, they could smell you if you're the shit anyway. Always remember, if you're the shit, they could smell you. You stink.
Damn.
Confidence is a scent. It's not a feeling. They could smell it on you. That's why dogs love people. Even if your dog, that's why people be like, oh, my dog likes you. It's like, yeah, it's just, I'm just confident enough to not be too scared around this motherfucker. Like, really, I'm about to shit on myself. Like,
yeah, it's all about how you present yourself. Mm-hmm. So with the confidence piece, you just released an album called Flowers Before the Grave. And I think it kind of transitions nicely because you talked about having a certain level of belief in yourself. And I think I watched an interview, you said the title of the album kind of represents you giving yourself flowers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before you get to the grave. So can you speak a little bit more on that and like just the meaning in general behind the album?
Yeah, I feel like it's just a lot of fake humble shit going on. Like, I feel like everybody trying to be so considerate and so, oh, humble. Like, I'm just happy to be here. You know, I've worked at my ass off and, you know, I'm just happy to get to this point. It's like, motherfucker, nobody, that's not believable, man. Like,
mm-hmm.
If you work your ass off, if you got a catalog of music that you can stand on, you surviving off your music shit, it's like, motherfucker, I need my flowers right now. What am I doing this for?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not out here trying to be humble and be liked by everybody, man. I'm from Long Beach, bro. Like, I make hip-hop music. I may experiment here or there, but I make hip-hop music. If you're a fan of hip-hop music, you're probably gonna like what I gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's just what you gotta stand on as an artist. You can't be like, oh, like, I hope people like this, da da da. It's like, bro, if you don't like it, I wasn't making it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just what it boils down to. So
yeah,
the confidence factor is important. That's the main theme of the album. It's like, bro, the album starts off with my daughter leaving me a voicemail, like, because I was asleep. She left me a voicemail, and that's enough motivation right there. Like, okay, cool. Like, wake up call. Like, the kid is there. Now it's time to fucking have the God vision. Like,
and that symbolizes the start of your album too.
Boom. So it's God, like, it makes sense. Like, it gotta all correlate for the theme of who you are. Like, it's like, okay, now my next album is called Hue. It's like the different shades of Huey Briss, basically. Like, it's,
oh,
like,
damn,
a different shade. Like, this is like more mature album. Like, this is like giving it up to lowrider culture. This is just like a good vibe on an album. Like, and Flowers was like introducing this new chapter of Huey. Like, oh, he's a little bit more confident now on this one. He's gonna be a little bit more like determined and very direct with that he's the best rapper. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
this, my next album, Hue, is like, okay, he's the best rapper. Like, he said it, he feels it. However they feel about it is just how they feel. Like, but in his world, he's Allen Iverson. I'm Kobe Bryant. I'm LeBron. Like, I am the best in my world. And if you want to come into this world of hip hop and try to say you're the best, well, hey, you know who the final boss is.
Okay.
But it's like this, the Flower series introduced that energy.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Because what do you think sparked it? Like, what caused the change from the previous albums?
That is a great question. That's a great question. I cannot answer that right now. I do not know what actually happened. I feel like when in the making of me making Flowers, I do remember having conversations with Walt, who produced the album, and I do remember to asking Walt, like, man, am I taking it too far? Like, should I really go there? Like, fuck these niggas. I do remember I was like, I'm gonna call out names.
Call out names.
And start being more direct with shit and saying I'm the best. Like, I think I just got fed up with rappers not pumping themselves up genuinely. I feel like it was all like either a false ego cocky thing or like, oh, super humble, super like, okay, super timid. And it's like, okay, cool, but that's not why we rappers. Like, yeah. We're rappers, so we're like damn near newscasters. We're here to tell people the fucking truth. This is what happens. This is what happened here. It was murder and it was not cool. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everything don't gotta be like so direct, but at the same time, with me personally, where I'm from, how I represent myself, my family, like, I have to be a certain level of confident or we won't eat.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, motherfuckers will never attract the clientele of artists that it takes because you're not that confident. You know, I kick it with Shimino, I kick it with Vince, I kick it with Brent, I kick it with niggas that got fans, niggas that built it up and that actually, you know, Buddy and Guap and niggas that actually have fans. You know what I mean? So it's like,
and they all have confidence of their own that is on next level.
And it's because they all worked. They all can go on their individual tours. They're all not depending on another artist to eat. You know, these are all things you take notes on when you want to be the best. So that's what was going on in my head when I was making Flowers. Like, that's why it's my best project, because I really felt like I was the best. Like, you know, like the best version of myself, the best rapper I can be. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was it right there. Like, so the next ones, I got to beat that and beat that. And that's confidence, too, because I'm not competing with fucking Jay-Z or, like, you know, man. You know what I mean? Like, man, I'm competing with my last little project, trying to beat that. And
if you keep doing that, though, think like 3-4 albums down the road, where you're going to be at?
Come on. You're going to have more fans. That's all you want is fans. You want the confidence breeds fans. Most people don't believe in themselves. 96% of people are followers. And that's the rest, the 4%, are waiting on the 1% to move so that they can do something. So technically, their followers, too, they just had enough confidence to not be following these 96%. They following the 1%. So it's like, I'm in the 1% of people that have to make moves happen and have to spark shit. Or if I don't say it, nobody's going to say it because everybody's so scared to lose out on some money. I don't give a fuck about the money that these Jewish people giving out. I could care less. Like, I want 1,000 fans that feel me. Like, I feel this motherfucker. Like, I hear him, I feel him. They pay me $100 throughout the year somehow, some way. Made $100,000, brother, a year. Name a career that, you know, you made $100,000 by just sitting in front of a fucking microphone. Maybe doing some shows. You know, maybe. Yeah. You know, if you felt like doing a show or two, you could do one. But really, you're just eating off of streams, some merch. Maybe you do a free show, sell merch. And you can eat if you got real fans, if you really got something to say. Other than that, you're just going to fucking drown. Everyone's going to drown. You're going to all look around. You'll be 45 years old, living with a weird-ass, kind of chubby girl that you don't really like that. Bro. She's cute, but, like, she's not cute enough. You still looking handsome and cool because you're the nigga. And now your confidence level is at a chubby fat dude who drinks beer all day because you not doing what you really should set out to do.
Man.
You settled and you didn't, you were living in like, like a state of fear, which is like the worst state to live in.
That sounds like a nightmare.
That's what 96% of the people on Earth live in. They live in a nightmare. That's why they say, oh my God, you're living a dream. What's the opposite of a dream? So if they're telling me I'm living a dream, what does that make them live?
An ordinary life.
Which is a nightmare. So it's literally, like, you got to understand what you got in front of you right now. That's what I really... It's confidence, but at the same time, it's like confidence masked with urgency. It's like, oh my God, bro, y'all don't even know how much time y'all don't have. Like, you got to make... Say what you say, feel how you feel, love who you love. That shit's real.
You got to make shit happen now.
And you got to plant the seeds. What are we doing? But boom, like, you going to have a bigger platform one day. I'm going to need you.
Bro, 100%.
I'm going to have a vision one day. Like, oh, I could just go on his platform and say this. It's going to go viral. People going to see it. Okay, cool. Like, it makes my job easier because I don't got to do the most. I could just.
Yeah. Say what comes to your mind. Because that's all you're doing. You're just kind of like puking your thoughts out on a microphone. And some of the stuff you say too is through experience. Like you said, you've been through it and you're actually talking about it. So it's not like you're just giving advice or you're talking about something you don't know about it. Like, these are real life experiences that you're talking about.
I would never tell people shit, lead them in a way that I wouldn't go.
What was the creation process like for the album?
It was very basic, you know, like, it was almost really too easy. I would like to thank my boy Henny over there at EQT. That's a record label and like a management company. They allowed me to, you know, record in that studio. And it's a very high level studio that they let me record at. And Walt and my boy Esai and my boy Seti and T Stark and all types of homies pulled up. And they kind of just helped me guide the project, you know, like the world is like my A&R. Like I play it for, I invite people to sessions. They tell me what song is good, what song is not. But Walt Mansa steerheaded the project. Like if it was up to me, a lot of the songs that made it wouldn't have been on there because I overthink.
Really? You kind of hoard some of your best work or?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm a rapper.
Yeah.
But
a lot of, I mean, you see that so often, even obviously with like producers, like they'll release a beat from, they made like 5 years ago. It'll be some of their best shit. And then like,
it's like, you don't know you're about to take this. You don't know you're going to make the shot till you shoot it. So some people would rather pass the ball and not have it on them. So if it fails, it don't work. It didn't fall back on you.
Now I take accountability.
Now I'm like, oh, whatever the song that I'm the most trying not to put out, that's probably the one that got to go on there. Cause that means, it's like you almost can't trust yourself musically because you're so close to the sun, you don't even see. When you back up, you're still blinded by the sun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't really know that this shit is really the shit.
Mm-hmm. Because you're probably so caught up as being a perfectionist in what you do.
Like, and you're constantly comparing your shit to whatever you just made. So in session, I'll make 4 songs, but then somebody be like, that's the one. You got to listen to the people. Like, it's like, that's where the ego comes in. Like, I can't be listening to my ego. Like, oh, I said some fly shit on this song, so I want this one to come out. But it's like, the feeling of this song is better. It's a song that's about to come out on my next album that... People beg me to put that song on. They're like, bro, this is a great song. Like, this has to be on it. It just feels good.
Are there certain people that you go to for advice and certain people that can you filter out those who are going to give you what you need? Because I feel like a lot of people try to give unsolicited advice and, you know, you can take the advice from the wrong person at times.
It's all timing with advice. Somebody could tell you something that you needed to hear. Somebody could give you some wrong advice and you tell somebody else and they chop it up and make it cool. Like, it's all a feeling, really. Like, if you feel like this shit is going to go, like, it probably is. If you scared of the song, like, the best advice I could give to an artist is, like, if that song scare you a little bit, you got to put it out. Like,
okay.
If you feel like, ooh, like, I don't know, like. But if you still playing it, because you know a song that's a dud already. Like, if you still playing it and you like, I might put this on. The song that you basically like, I might put this on there. We was thinking about not. That one got to go on there for sure. Fuck, that shit better be like track 4. Because the one you dislike is probably the one they gonna like, because we so weird as listeners. Like, when I listen to music, I only want to hear feel-good type shit. Like,
okay.
Like, even if it's a dark song, it still make me feel good because of how he make, like, Mobb Deep or something. Like, it's dark, but they still, like, talking and it making me feel good. Slick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not depressing. Like, it's not like, oh, my God, look at my life. I hate myself. And it's like, nah. It's like, life is fucked up, but still we mobbing. Yeah. Like, okay, yeah, come on.
Is there a reason why you like to listen to that music only?
Yeah, because, like, inside of my heart is truly dark.
Okay, so you want to get out of that. You want to get away from that.
Yeah, like, it's like a killer. They don't listen to fucking killer music. Killers listen to, like, R&B and, like...
That's true.
Singers and, like, 21 Savage only listen to fucking R&B music. Like, he's not bumping shoot 'em up, bang, bang shit. When he makes his music, that's his pain. So he sounds authentic making that because he's actually in pain.
Bro, that's so true. That even works with girls and dating and shit, right? Because when you've been through some shit or, like, you deal with constant chaos and stress in the real life, like, you're more likely to pick a woman that's calm and chill. She's going to bring you peace. Like, ain't no dude that has a real hard life, a real high-value life, wants, like, a crazy girl. Like, some girl that's going to be causing issues and drama and shit.
Yeah.
So it works that same way, I feel like, in different areas.
Most definitely. People definitely need peace if you are dealing with bullshit.
And that's why you seek that feel-good music.
Yeah, because, like, I'll be listening to, like, goddamn Aretha Franklin and shit, because I'll be damn near trying to cry when I listen to music, how good it feel. Like, you know, like, I'm chasing an actual feeling. You know what I mean? Like, so.
Okay.
That's my vibe.
What is the meaning of the, like, the intermissions and the interludes on the album? Because you have quite a few snippets on there that are kind of just like recordings of sayings. Are those just basically messages that you resonate with, or
what? Yeah, it's like Prince is like the spirit animal of the album. He was like somebody that's very influential to me, the way he, like, articulated the game, like, even the way he didn't even work with people if you didn't own your masters. He was just so jaded towards the industry, and I feel like a lot of people is doing music for the industry, like, instead of, like, okay, A, you're doing it as a, one, you're doing it as, like, an offering to God, like, first, yeah. Like, you're doing it for, like, you're merely making this music saying, like, this is what I'm going through. This is how I feel. I'm grateful to still be here. That should be like the baseline of your music. Then you do it for yourself. Then you do it for your fans. You know what I mean? But most people, they do it for the industry, or, like, you know, they're doing it for a monetary gain, yeah. Which is cool. I mean, I'm not mad at you. Get your money, but it compromises a lot of the feeling that comes with the real music. It's like, you know, the real fruit from a fruit that's like,
manufactured or
I guess been tampered with. It's very important for me to make sure that I highlight that in the skits of the album with Prince, like, just talking about how, like, people are like, oh, he's very quiet, and it's like, no, I'm just like that around you. Like, don't think I'm just like some quiet dude. Like, no, I'm just, when I'm around industry folk, I'm princing them all day. Like, we ain't about to be sitting here key-keying gully-gully and all that. We about to get some money, or what is we talking about? I'm not about to be small-talking with y'all about my next project and this and that, so you could take tidbits and bring it back to your company and use it for your advantage. We're not doing that. Like, that shit is done. Like, that whole industry shit, like, is done. Like, if you see me with an industry motherfucker, they paying me. And that was, like, what Prince's whole thing is. Like, Prince would rather not even fuck with the industry at all. Like, which I don't, but
yeah.
At the same time, I understand the field I'm in. Like, I want to have long-term paper. Like, I want people to honestly pay me for being myself. Like, I want to be, my goal is to be able to host an event, win an award, and perform at the award show. Oof. Like, I host the award show. I'm out here hosting it. I'm about to go change and perform. I perform, kill that bitch. Then after my performance, I go change again and accept the award.
I can see that happening for sure.
The first artist.
You got the personality for it, absolutely.
The first artist in music history to ever do so.
That's never been done before?
Never. And I want to do it again, but with acting.
Ooh, like acting.
He did it again.
He
performed at the, he hosted it, performed there, and won an award for his movie that came out that year. Like, well, this guy is like, taking it to a new height, and that's what you got to do, because if you're confident, you're always trying to think of somebody that's never done things that somebody's never done before. That was the whole point of the skits on the album. It's like doing Prince is like the, he was doing shit nobody's ever done. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's so confident in himself. He didn't, he thought he didn't need a name anymore. He was like, I could just throw a symbol on my shit and y'all still gonna fuck with me. Damn, I done broke my shit.
Literally, damn.
So that's the whole thing with me, like understanding like the skits are like so important to the narrative of the album and making sure like, yeah, that shit's just real. So,
and also I feel like it represents that new version of Huey that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. That's more mature because they're gems that are being dropped. It's not no like bullshit or like, no, I don't know.
You know? You want people to leave with something, you know, you want people to understand you. That's what a human being wants. That's why they're following people. They're trying to go back, get their 23andMe and figure out who they are and da da da, because they want people to truly understand them. And that's just not real. Like, you know, like it's just something we're going to chase as humans forever. No one's ever going to understand you because you're constantly growing.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kanye West is not the same Kanye from College Dropout. He is a different person.
Yeah.
He grew. You know, he's still talking the same talk, but he grew into he understands that he's a god now, and that shit's intimidating. The same shit that's going to happen with me. The more I learn, the more I grow, the more I travel, I'm going to just get more confident in that person that I knew I was. And then it's like, that's why they say like, oh, people go in Hollywood. It's like, no, he's always been that.
Yeah.
It's just now he knows so much that is damn near unfair now. It's like he's damn near like you can't even give him a suggestion or anything because your confidence level ain't as high as his.
And the life you live and the things you know are completely different. So it's like the type of conversations you have, the things that are coming out of your mouth, like they're all different than what you were before.
Oh yeah.
You know?
You gotta grow.
And some people like either come with you or they stay down there, and if you fuck with them down there, it brings you down. You know what I mean?
That's the worst thing that can happen to you as a human being is getting caught up in what other people are doing, and you can't save nobody. You can't even save your own mother, your own child. Like you can't save nobody. Like your job is not to save nobody. Your job is to reach a certain point and help. That's it. Like whatever point you want to reach, some people be like, man, I want to get my master's, I want to get my doctrines. When you get your master's, you're going to be the most confident version of yourself. Then you can go help people.
Yeah,
because you reached your confidence point when you're like, okay, cool. It's like you don't want nobody to come over your house when it's dirty. You want people to come over when it's clean, when it's worth showing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people are like living false lives and bringing people that they don't need to be hanging with along for the ride, because they don't really feel like, oh, I'm really not who I say I am. I'm not complete without, does this look good? Do I need this? Do I need that?
It's seeking validation.
Bro, you don't need that. That's what, you know what I'm saying? That's what that shit hurts. It hurts. You know what I mean? When you got to realize that it's you really by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your validation is the only validation you need. You wear something once and no girls talk to you, you know not to wear that one again. But you wear a shirt like this and you wear it like this and pants like this size and this, and people are like, oh my God, you look good. Da-da-da. You're going to start wearing more shit like that.
It's like a signal to yourself.
The only way you're going to learn is if you go out there and do it, though. If you do a show and people are telling you after the show, you're fucking dope, bro. You're going to want to do more shows.
Mm-hmm.
If people are saying that shit was trash or not saying anything, you probably should stop, bro.
With that said, are you trying to do some more live shows in the near to late future?
Yeah, I'm doing a show. What is it, July right now? I'm doing a free show in August. I think I'm going to do it for my birthday.
Really?
My birthday, August 4th. I think I'm going to do a free show. I'm going to sell some merch and other items, but the show free, like free admission.
Where do you want to do it at? What city?
We got like three places. I'm doing LA for show. Then I want to do one in New York.
Sheesh.
I'm going to like host one of them. The one in New York, I'll probably just host and like have people perform and then like headline it at the end. But like the one in LA, I want to like do a real like hour set, like, you know, like a live set. I would love to have a band, but like I'm not tripping.
Yeah. How long has it been since you performed?
Not long. I think I just did some shit.
Oh, for real?
I can't remember what I did, but I just did some shit. Like not long ago.
But is making more live appearances throughout this year and next year, is that something that's like a priority for you or not really?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
All the output this year was really focused on like putting out fucking music.
Like, okay.
Like just I feel like I just never had enough music out, and now like I'm finally confident in these next few upcoming releases. So like now I could be like, all right, I have 20 minutes on this album, 20 minutes on this album. That's already 40 minutes set.
Yep.
That's two albums. Just like I could do straight through there that good. Then would go. That's not even getting into the old shit. Then coming back with some unreleased shit. It's like, oh yeah, this motherfucker is like, oh, we're dealing with the real deal.
Okay.
Like he loaded up and now he's never going to stop performing. He has an hour set that he could revolve. And most of the time, I'm not even going to be doing hour sets unless it's my show. They're just going to give me like a 20-minute set or maybe a 10.
Just perform a few songs.
But I'm going to do more. I'm always overachieve when it comes to performing because that's how I want to eat all day.
I mean, I've seen it for myself firsthand.
My goal is, bro, I want to step on that stage, make 100 bands for being there, another whatever off of the fucking merch. Whatever off of the after party, do a tour a year, like a good nice tour a year,
sitting pretty
and come home and chill for the rest of the year, like do a 2-month tour and worldwide and come home.
That's a life.
I really, in a perfect world, if God, Allah, Jehovah, if y'all all listening, mm-hmm. I would love to just be so famous overseas, like
overseas,
and be like kind of famous in America, like not famous enough to where you bother him while he's eating.
Okay,
like you just like, okay, like hey, you just see him and say what's up out here. But if I can't go to like France, like I can't go to
Europe. But is that because where you want to live at in the U.S. you want peace out here?
I
want
to live out here and be chilling. That's why it's a blessing in disguise. It's like sometimes like I'm like, wow, like, I'm happy that I'm cracking in, like, Japan and, like, London and places like that. It's, like, cool, because I don't live there.
Do you pay attention to that stuff, the analytics of your music?
I don't pay attention, but I look at it.
Okay. As far as just, like, where your audience is at, but not necessarily, like,
yeah, I'm not like, oh, I'm about to make a London song for them.
Ah, yeah.
I don't care what the fuck they're on. Like, you know, like, I don't care what nobody on. Like, I make music for... really for Long Beach. If I'm being real, bro, like people get on my ass about that. They'd be like, bro, you need to make music for the world. The world don't even speak English. We the only us in like certain parts of Europe is the only people that primary language is English. So I'm already at a disadvantage.
That's true. That's
I'm already true. Just making music for America.
That's why you see reggaeton popping off right now with like Bad Bunny. And then how many countries speak Spanish?
And you gotta think about it too, even with the Afrobeat shit. Like,
yeah, that's true.
French is like the number one spoke language around the world. Like, you know what I mean? Motherfuckers, the France did damage around this motherfucker. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, that, if I spoke French, my shit would go crazy.
And people out here, like or me Spanish, included, we don't know shit about French. Like, music.
We don't care. Yeah. You know, they think we give a fuck about American rap only. It's like, nah, the most popping people in America is like Wizkid, Bad Bunny, Drake.
Yeah.
These niggas are from
other places.
Drake's from Canada, bro. Like, he's the biggest artist in America. He's not even from here.
That's true.
You gotta let that shit sink in. Like, we're not even, America's not even American. Everything we listen to, all we eat is like Chinese food. All we do is, you know what I'm saying?
Especially
like,
in LA. Pasta. Or just the area or something.
We don't eat. We don't have culture. We are a blending pot of everything we think is cool.
Literally.
Oh, that's cool. Let's put a restaurant here and sell it. Let's dress like them. Let's shoot a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot a kung fu flick. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's like, I get the game we in, bro. Like, I'm just trying to make sure, like, I stay afloat in it now and, like, have a deep understanding of, like, what people are on. Like, if I make music, I know it's probably going to be, you know, like, taken in by people from the ghetto. Like, or, like, people that think they're ghetto or trying to be hip, so they... like, oh, you don't listen to Huey? Like, and then as soon as I get big, they're like, oh, like...
I knew about
him. I used to listen to him back in the day. Like, it's like, I probably only make hip-hop music, and I'm probably if I do make worldly music, it's like I don't really even know how to approach that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like why would they call me for shit like that? That's your ego. Like people think you, like if you've been making hip hop, they're probably gonna call you and they need a hip hop rapper, bro. Like they would want to call a professional if they're gonna have someone on a Bad Buddy record. You know, like they wouldn't. You know, it's like
yeah,
I wouldn't even target myself for that audience. Like that's. They don't care about that.
It's like you said too, if you don't like my music, it's probably wasn't made for you.
Yeah, like I don't listen to anyone's music. They don't make anything for me because I'm from a specific place in Long Beach, from at a specific time in the 90s, 2000s. So my ear only gravitates to certain shit.
So are there certain artists that you fuck with currently? That like a certain set of them? Or
Seafood Sam, Vince Staples, Giveon. Fucking Savvy Third, fucking all the homies, you know, like
you know a guy named Michael Bridgewater, or his name is Mikey Brain, Mike Brain.
Nah, he's that name hard though.
He's from Northside Long Beach. I was like, maybe you know him because he's boys with.
I might know him, but I might know him by another name, but nah. But I only listen to rap that's like. I don't know. Like, I'm real weird with my rap.
You got to relate to it, huh? I feel like, or you got to,
My rap ear is weird because I do like all the new shit, but I ain't about to, like, I don't lock into it. Like, you know, like, I just, I love Yeet, you know, like, I love Cardi. I love fucking all them niggas. I love Homicide Gang. I love all the niggas, SoundCloud niggas. Lil Yachty really inspires me. You know, I really like how he, like, is very attentive to his brand and his fans. Like, there's a lot of people that I admire that are new, like, quote unquote, like, new rappers. You know what I mean? But, like, I'm only really going to listen to my homies. Like, I only listen to people that I honestly really can.
You have relationships with.
Yeah, for what? Why am I listening to anybody else for? Like, yeah. I don't even know who I got in my. Let me see who I got in my Apple Music DSP. Right now. I got Gucci Mane writing on the wall, common like water for chocolate. That should tell you all you need to know about where the fuck my
literally
weird ass brain is at. And the rest is, I got Mac Dre in here, but the rest is like
you said, you like to listen to feel good music.
The rest is like African music, okay. Aretha Franklin, and my shit. I got a lot of random ass beats. But yeah, like that's all I like. I listen to like in my search bar. Let's see what's in here. It's fucking B.I.G., Ice Cube, Blue Bucks Clan, and Razzcast.
A range.
It's like I don't really listen to new niggas like that. I do really, like I said, I do like Little Yachty.
Little Yachty.
Like I would love to be in the studio and rap with Little Yachty.
Okay.
As far as the new niggas go. But, like, other than that, like, I would like to just work with producers and graphic designers and painters. If you paint or make graphic design and you're, like, really good, like, people tell you you're really good all the time, you're really good, then, yeah, please hit me up.
Well, your recent album had a painting on it, right?
The legend, Dead Style.
Shout out.
Dez killed that. She's just a legend overall, like. And she, like, really gives it up for, like, her community and, like, the people she loves and shit. Like, her art isn't just art, you know what I'm saying? She actually has a stance in this world, and that shit is very much respected.
Cheers. Shout out to her. The new album, though, that you're talking about, you said it's called Shades, or?
Nah, it's called Hue, H-U-E.
Hue. Oh, and it's going to be, like, Hue, like, the Shades of Hue.
Yeah, it's just different
okay.
Shades of me on that album. Like, it's five songs, and it's just really, like, I got a song called Heavenly Gates, where I'm just talking about, like, I'm reflecting on my life and, like, saying everything's going to be good, like, a really feel-good record. I got a song on there called The Best Rapper where I literally say God put me on this earth to be the best rapper and then proceeds to give an example of why.
The confidence.
I got a song on there called Sign Right Here where I'm saying I take a Jadakiss line and flip it for a hook. And then I'm basically saying like I'm the reason niggas got deals the past few years. If you sound anything like Brist, then sign right here. Like, it's very, I'm just speaking on like the battles that I had to go through to get my respect and like why a lot of people out here sound like me. And it's really, yeah, it's high level confidence. That album is very, very Briss.
Very Briss.
Like, that's a Briss ass album. And it's produced by Mike and Keys, who are responsible for Nipsey Hussle's Victory Lap. Ooh. They're responsible for Davies.
The production's about to be crazy. I mean, the match of that with your sound is going to be crazy.
Here we go. And then, like, it's very high level. So, like, even think about this. All the videos we shot for it were in Paris for Fashion Week. So it's like, I got a song called A Few Missed Calls that we shot in Paris and at the Ritz, like right outside, like Benz is all out there. It was just nuts. Like,
I think I seen that video.
It's, we definitely,
you won't catch nobody else doing that in Paris, bro.
We had lowriders out there. We shot a video with the lowriders at the Eiffel Tower. Like, it was just like, bro, like we shut down the Eiffel with Cadillacs and Chevys and had kids out there taking pictures. And I had a meet and greet basically outside the Eiffel. And it was just like a vibe, man. Like, it was something like when this video come out, like, it's just going to separate me from every rapper, like from any rapper who's ever, like, Snoop Dogg is like my OG who I love to death, you know, but I've never seen Snoop Dogg bounce a lowrider outside the Eiffel Tower.
I haven't seen nobody do that.
You know what I mean? Like, that's like taking culture to a new level. And, you know, and that's like, I could have went out to Paris and like adapted to their culture and moved how they moved and like, man, no, man, be yourself. Yeah. Really respect what that got, what they got going on over there, and I respect everything that they had going. But at the end of the day, I'm locked into myself.
Right.
In my culture, where I'm from. I'm from Long Beach, man. We wear tank tops and ride lowriders and smoke weed wherever we want, man. And we up on like fashion and style. A lot of people from Long Beach dress like a motherfucker, man. Yeah, some of the best people I seen dress was from Long Beach. You know what I mean? So.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all my homies put it on, so it's like, it's only right that I go to Fashion Week. I'm the only person from Long Beach that's gonna take the fashion shit actually to like a new height, like actually be a representation and somebody that's like a tastemaker in fashion. When this album is like gonna be like my introduction to that, because you could see like through the lens, you could see it, like, wow, like it's one thing to like have a video or, but it's another thing when you can clearly see like somebody that has no, like, no budget, no label. Like, you can see it. Like, it's like, you know, an authentic raw boxer when you see him fight. Like, you know, you're like, that dude that doesn't have any real, he's raw. Like, it's so raw and so many cultures clashing that literally it has no choice but to work, bro. Because it's like every Long Beach example has worked when they individualize themselves. It's like, okay, you take a little bit of culture for that you have, but you make it you. Like, Briss, you're fly, you're into the fashion shit. Take a lowrider, put it outside Fashion Week, add it with a hip-hop beat from Mike and Keys, one of the, these are the best producers in the game, damn near. Mm-hmm. You mesh that together with some fire artwork. The video looks clean. July Productions did the video. The album comes out, and everybody fucks with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And once the album is out, it's kind of like, okay, we now see, that's where the hue comes in. Like, we now see, like, okay, like, these are the shades of Huey that's making him unique. Word. It's like, only he can do certain things.
And you can see it, what you're speaking on in the clothing. Like, you actually put forth effort in rolling out the merch you put out. I mean, if you're watching this, you look at the tote bag right there, the quality on that is insane if you see it in real life, in real person. So you can see the intentionality that's put behind the merch that you put out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you could tell you do take the fashion shit serious.
Yeah, I really do. I love putting that shit on. And I like when motherfuckers care about it as well, because when you're making music, it's all a feeling. Like, the whole baseline and theme of this conversation is confidence. Yeah. That feeling you get when you're in some clothes is the highest form of confidence you can have. People literally risk their lives to feel that feeling. yeah, like work their ass off and buy a purse,
mm-hmm,
just so they could feel like worth something. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't blame them because I stole from the fucking mall and I switched. Too. I walked into clothing stores and switched shoes, the dirty shoes for the new ones, so I could have a new pair of shoes. Not that my mother couldn't even afford it. It's just the fact that she had enough fucking sense to know, like, I'm not about to buy some fucking $100 shoes when this motherfucker is going to ruin them in 2 days. Like, yeah, he's fucking in his basketball phase. Why would I buy him these shoes? Like, I don't even blame my fucking people. Like, you, yeah, know what I mean? It's like, I,
why
blame,
would they?
Come on, bro. You're young. You don't know. So
yeah,
now that I'm at that point, I want to make sure fashion is the forefront, because when I'm clouded up, and I could be like, you know what? Hey, Nike, let's throw 200 pairs of shoes to, like, the kids over here. Like, yeah. Take it out. Put it on my tab. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, if I could start doing the Robin Hood shit and doing shit like that, that'll fulfill me. I could feel like, all right, like, I didn't just, like, take from the game. Like, you know, like.
So that's important for you to get back to Long Beach and Grace,
yeah,
Park.
Yeah, Long Beach specifically, because niggas broke in Long Beach, man. Like, mm-hmm, as much as it's a middle class environment here and there, like, there's spots and shit. A lot of kids can't do what they want to do fashion wise because, you know, they looking at Instagram and looking at everybody and seeing how much it costs to wear the Rick Owens and do this and do that. And it's like, they busting their ass to dress fly and drip and looking crazy because they trying to do the low quality version of whatever that is. And it's like, they need examples like me, like Vince, like Snoop Dogg. Like, different people that dress really nice but don't have to wear super designer shit at the same time. It's like, I don't ever want to be designer. I want to be fashion. Fashion isn't fashion and style. You know, like, that's deeper than a designer. Like, you could go to a thrift store and have some fashion sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm, if you know how to dress, like, I want to teach people actually the fashion sense. I want to hold workshops. I would love to, like, have, like, maybe, like, UGG or some type of big company sponsor a workshop so that we can teach kids how to, like, embroider and make their own clothes and, like, do shit like that. Like,
because no kid's really looking to do that themselves or getting taught that in school. So it's like, who else is gonna?
Yeah, and it's not their fault, not, mm-hmm, nobody's fault. It's just my responsibility as somebody that cares about fashion and the future of fashion. I want kids to actually be at school dressing fly. I'm tired of seeing kids wear ankle socks and shit. Like, what are y'all doing? Like, man, get these kids some real socks.
Facts.
Like, we need these kids to put this fucking mid sock on and dress fly, man. Like, you're from Long Beach, man. Like, you, mm-hmm, don't gotta wear fucking Chucks and Dickies all the time and think you could, you know, like, switch it up, bro. We could put you on a nice little coat. We could get you right. So it's like, these are just like, it's wishful thinking, of course, because it's much deeper than that. It's an economic problem that comes with that. It's,
of course,
layered, but for my little contribution that I could do, I would love to just be an example to make motherfuckers look like, you know, right now I got a McGill Scott hair on, motherfucking full court press tee with some pants that I made myself at Chinatown Market Warehouse.
Oh,
just some screen print. I mean, heat press shit with a little eagle on it.
What's a jacket?
The jacket is a one-of-one internet fabric. Dickies. It's just a vintage Dickies jacket that they printed on. And then I got some BBC socks on.
Ooh.
That's probably the most craziest thing I got on is the BBC socks in the bag. But, you know, these are things that I've acquired over my time. You know, like, I don't even have bad clothes. Like, you know how motherfuckers be like, oh, I got this throw on shirt, I could just throw this look. I don't have that. Like, everything I have is like,
you care about every piece.
Yeah, everything is hung up or folded and it's nice. I care about my shit. That's why I be having shit for years.
But take, it's like, care of it.
A lot of kids don't have that privilege, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
A lot of kids can't do that. So,
since we're on the topic of youth, that you embrace a lot is fatherhood.
Yeah.
I mean, you are always putting, like, even that show I was at, you put your daughter on the stage, brought her out. It kind of seems to me like you're showing her the world through your eyes and you're letting her experience all the things that you're experiencing as well. So can you talk about the relationship with your daughter and why it's so important for you to embrace it?
Yeah. It's a layered situation with her too. Cause, like, I went to jail for some petty video shoot bullshit. Nothing gangster.
Mm.
And, when I was in jail, I just, you know, it's called jailhouse love. And you just like, oh man, like, when I get out, baby, I'm gonna get you pregnant, blah, blah, blah. And I really did that shit. Like, I was one of the motherfuckers that went through with it. So she was fully planned and fully expected, and, like, everything was just, like, fully like intentional with her. So I feel like that's why it's like so easy to raise my daughter, and it's easy to bring her around, you know, video shoots and do shit like that. Cause now I'm at like a professional level. So like, I'm not like, as much as I'm on the come up, it's like, my plugs is like legit. Like, it's fucking police at the video shoots and escorts and kids section. Everybody got kids at this point.
Yeah, it's fact. You know,
so it's like, there's always a level of like consideration for children in my workspace. So it was very easy to just insert her into it, like bring her to a show, put her on some headphones, bring her out, people go crazy. It's like,
and she's getting a unique experience in life in general compared to like, I don't know, people, kids she might go to school with or whatever the case is, right?
It's very uncomparable because she's gonna have I want her to go to public school as well. I want her to be up in a public system to know, like, hey, not everybody is doing as well as your father. Like, not everybody is willing to come and do an interview and put the kid in the room and do,
that's facts,
know, it's a
yeah.
certain level of excuse that comes with being a parent as well. Like, you get the certain level of like space, like, okay, like, he has a kid, you know, you, if I would have told you like I can make it, I got the kid, you'd be like, okay, I respect it, dude.
100%
like,
yeah,
but is that commendable in a way? Like, what's more commendable, bringing the kid and making it happen, or making an excuse and not knowing where it could go?
Shit, bringing the kid, making it happen.
And that's inspiring, you know what I'm saying? For somebody who is at home right now watching this with a kid, like, man, like, I can't wait till my kid could walk and talk. I'm going to bring my son with me everywhere I go. Like, I'm going to bring my kid with me everywhere I go. Like, it's a hassle and it's definitely work, but...
And it's also kind of a flex, bro. Like, the fact that you're able to get what you're doing done, and that you're... And you have a whole-ass kid to take care of, it's like, bro, for those that don't have a kid, you have no excuse to not go after and do what you want. Yeah. Like, look at Huey making shit happen, even though he has a kid. Like, what's your excuse?
Yeah, and my kid is, like, learning on the go, and I still find time to read with her at night, still give her the bath twice a day, still do the father shit, because I wake up at 5 in the morning, so I got, like, what, 3 hours before she wake up, 5, 6, 8. She might wake up 7, 8, so I could clean up, do all the shit. It's just really just time management and attention to detail, which it goes back to what we was talking about, education, and how like studying and doing that leans over into whatever you want to do. My dedication and attention to detail for the music, for everything I do, just leaned over into fatherhood. My attention to detail with fashion, my clothes, leaned over into that. It was easy to like just insert her, like, hey, y'all got kid sizes? Okay, add her to the seating list. Now she gets all the cool shoes. It's easy for me. We're not, this lifestyle that I'm living is the 1%. It's not gonna be this easy for, say, another person who wants to do this like that, because their child's mother might not be in the industry, entertainment industry, like me. Like, my my daughter's mother is a dancer as well. She does choreography, she does LA Sparks and blah blah blah. Like, she's actually like a working mother, so she's very commended in that aspect, and it's a little easier for her to like leave the kid with me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, some people's baby moms might not be in that situation. They might be like, nope, I want the kid with me at all times. I don't think they should be at a music video. I don't think that, you know, my baby mom was with me on one of my early videos, and she was helping me on the video, so she understands
what goes down. What
and
happens.
That's why the preparation beforehand is the most important part in my field. Whether it's me raising my child, whether it's me working on an album, whether it's me doing an interview, it's the preparation beforehand that makes the Briss Don't Miss brand strong. It's like, Briss Don't Miss, because if comparing it to like a Target, it's like, you know how much concentration before they let go you have to have? You got to make sure it's on point. Okay. Archer got to make sure that motherfucker, bow. That's preparation.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. I'm just waiting. Okay.
You're taking the same concept and applying it to your career.
Boom. And artist. I just lap it around. Like, I tell all the women that I'm involved with, I got the same heart. It loves the same way. I love you, the same heart that I love my daughter, the same heart that I love my mom, the same. The action that I show, though, is different to each one. But the love, the feeling is the same. And that's how it has to work in life. My kid is my kid, bro. Like, she is her own thing, though. Like, she's Brielle. She is her own life. I do not control her thoughts. You know, like, I don't tamper with her. You know, like, that is something that I just, like, just kind of, like, protect and, like, make sure she's alive. But I don't, like, tell her, you have to believe in God. You have to, this is your, you know, this lady has her own perspective on life, bro. Like, I don't tamper. If she grows up to be whatever she want to be and however she feels she wants to view life from any viewpoint imaginable, what am I going to say? No.
Yeah.
That's ego. You're trying to control your daughter, bro? Like, that's weird.
Yeah, so you want her to make her own decisions and become what she wants.
Yeah, because, I mean, what have I provided her with? Nothing but greatness.
Yeah, it's true.
So if you really feel like, it goes back to the confidence, if you really feel like you're doing what you're supposed to do, you could live with whatever your daughter or son decides to do, because you've only surrounded them with the best opportunities and resources.
Yeah, you did your job. What else are you going to do?
Once my girl turns 18, gets a taste of some fucking male whatever and wakes up and realizes whatever, you know, that's when I'm going to be like, okay, let me fall back. Let you do your thing. You're doing your thing now. I'm just here as a little guidance provider. You know, you got your crib. I don't tell you what to do with your house. I don't got secret cameras in there. Dude, hey, I was 18.
That's awesome that you have that type of relationship with her, because I don't think a lot of parents view it that way. There's a very I mean, and it kind of comes with age. I mean, like the boomer generation and before that, I was very traditional. And I feel like with our generation, the way we're growing up, it's a little bit more like progressive. We handle things a little bit differently, kind of like how the perspective you explained.
I truly love her. You know, like, I truly love her enough to let her go.
You got to.
I truly love her.
Where did you get the name Huey Briss from?
I used to go by LB.
LB.
And it was like for my dad name is Bryant. So I was going by like Lil Bryant. But once that was like when I was really young. And once I got to a certain point, I realized that being from Long Beach, calling yourself LB might not be the smartest thing in the world.
That's true.
You sound like a gang member. So one day I was in the hood and we was watching this movie called Chronicle randomly. And in the scene in the movie, the dude gets too powerful and he start yelling out hubris. So I asked the hood niggas like, yo, what does hubris mean? And of course they don't know. They like, fucking Google it, nigga. So I go home and do that. And it says excessive confidence, excessive arrogance, or like defiance against the gods and blah blah blah. So I took that and was like, okay, like, I'm gonna do that, but it says that will eventually lead to one's demise. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna take this whole concept of hubris and bring it to the music, the rap world, but instead I'm gonna be Huey Briss. Instead of hubris, I'm gonna be Huey Briss. So it sounds more like accessible, like, oh my God, Huey. And then when they hear the music, they like, whoa, like, we thought Huey Briss was gonna be on some, like, you know, some chill or whatever. It's like, nah, this motherfucker has a perspective.
Yeah.
So I ended up just changing my Twitter to it one day on some just like, you know, I'm gonna just kind of, the original plan was I wasn't gonna show my face. I was gonna be like a The Weeknd, mysterious motherfucker, like Huey Briss, where's LB, who is Huey Briss, blah blah blah. Then I just realized how corny that shit sounded and was like, nah nigga, like, I gotta stand on it.
I know, especially with the level of confidence that you have, like, boom, you can't not show your character, your personality.
It was very important. So when I started doing that, that's kind of when, like, people started taking me a little bit more serious, because, you know, it takes a lot of balls to rebrand yourself, you know, like, that takes a lot. And to have the Briss Don't Miss brand come so naturally, thanks to Sifu Sam, he said it in a song we had, and I just ran with it.
That is a hard saying, Briss Don't Miss.
Yeah, man, Sifu Sam, brother, I love you. Seafood Sam.
I was gonna ask that too, like, what, where the slogan came from, Briss Don't Miss. But
yeah, that's Seafood. Seafood said it in a rap one day. He said it one day in a song we did, And I was like, damn, that shit just stick.
I do love it. What's the most, going back to the music, what's the most important lesson you think that you've learned as an artist to this point?
Target your audience, lower your expectations.
Target your audience and lower your expectations.
Yeah, man, that's important. I'm from Long Beach, man. I'm a hip hop artist. The bandwidth and the audience for that is limitless because hip hop is very influential.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if they don't like the rap, they like how I dress. If they don't like how I dress, they like how I talk. If they don't like how I talk, they like who I'm around. They like the influence that I have. Like, something about that guy is a little bit cooler than the soccer player or like the baseball player. It's like, no one cares what the fuck baseball players are wearing when they're at home. Like, no one gives a shit what Peyton Manning ain't wearing. Like, you know, like, yeah. No one cares about that shit. They care about hip hop culture, which is what basketball players and football players care about, hip hop culture and shit. So, like, that shit is just important to me. You know what I mean?
And it's like you said, it's pretty synonymous with sports and bleeds into cross sectionalities of cultures. Mm-hmm. And the West Coast in itself is like the breeding ground for that. It's crazy to just think that, and you don't realize this until you travel, is just shit's not like this in other countries, other states. Like, it's really a one of a kind experience that you get out here.
Yeah, if you're cool in any way, if you got any type of cool factor to you, you want to be on the West. I don't care if you want to be in Washington. I don't care if you want to be in Arizona, chilling, Vegas. You want to be somewhere over here where it's like, maybe not a tornado is going to destroy your home.
Yeah, literally.
Or the weather is so shitty that you don't even want to be alive. You know what I mean? Like, some people just want to chill out in LA, pay high ass rent for this good ass weather.
Bro, I couldn't imagine living anywhere else, even if it's expensive. Like,
this is it. You can visit places for a week, but then you want to spark some weed. Guess
you
what?
You want to go back? Yeah.
As soon as the first person tells you, hey, no smoking weed over here, you're just like, I'm homesick. Ah, this is nothing like LA. In LA, you could just smoke and pass it to a crackhead and keep it moving.
100%. What's coming up next for you in the near future? I know you talked about the new album that's coming up soon, and you know, you got some shows going on. Anything else that you want to plug?
A new album, definitely got plenty shows. I got three new projects in the queue. But definitely got the album. Definitely going to zone in on more merch and more traveling.
Can we expect that tote bag come out?
Yes, the tote bag is kind of, it's not even as expensive as I thought it was to make. So we definitely going to get them going. I just wanted to do it right. Like, I want to make sure that the music is spearheading the everything. Like, I don't want people to get too caught up in everything around it. Like, remember, rap first and then everything else kind of like builds around that. And Flowers was still like, as much as like it was a success, it was still like a teaser. Like, I still didn't all the way know how people would embrace the new version of me.
You word, yeah.
So now that I know that it's gonna work, like, it made this album much more smoother, and I could like strategize it better. So I'm kind of putting all bets on this next album. Like, I think this is the one that's gonna attract Jay-Z.
Ooh.
And then, like, okay, like, he's on my radar. Like, I see this guy.
How do you get on Jay-Z's radar? How does one do that?
You gotta do something that's never been done. Like, have lowriders outside the Eiffel. He could talk about that to somebody. Like, that's true. This kid had lowriders outside the Eiffel. I don't even know how this kid did that, man.
I know. Like, I remember when Nipsey saying that he found so much inspiration in Jay-Z fucking with him early and buying, what, like 100 copies of his.
Yeah, he was doing shit nobody was doing, man. He was selling CDs for $100. That's insane. You know, kid, nobody's doing that. Nobody's standing on it that hard. They don't think they shit that good.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what you got to realize. They've lowered the value of rap so low that they got you feeling like the hard work you put into this shit, the $100 an hour you done spent on the studio time, is worth $199 and a few pennies on a stream. They got you thinking the value of your shit is low. Why would you ever want to devalue something that changes lives? Why would you ever want to devalue something that literally can take a kid from selling crack to fucking living in a fucking penthouse? Like,
yeah,
you don't even understand the shit that hip-hop does for people. it changes lives. There are songs that people play at their wedding. You know, there's songs that represent cultures. My dog Pilo, every time the motherfucking Filipino get married, they play Pilo music.
100%.
You feel what I'm saying? Yeah, that shit is hip hop though. That's hip hop. You know what I mean? Motherfuckers play Dreams and Nightmares theme song at they fucking graduation and shit. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Don't devalue the music. Nipsey sold this shit for $100. That shit got Jay-Z attention.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get motherfuckers attention, do something big and make hip hop look good. Make hip hop look like it's actually good. If you want, at any level, I don't care if you a podcaster, you should be making me look good, because that's a representation of hip hop. Motherfucker might be like, just how you made Kai look good. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do this.
Yeah.
Because the way Kai looked and the way my nigga was talking, and he got the freedom to say what he wanted to say. That's my kind of platform right there.
100%.
Yeah. Definitely congrats to you and what you got going on with this shit.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. That's the angle I'm trying to go by too. And the guests that I curate, share that vision too. That's why I wanted to have you on also. It's a mutual thing. And I love that when I have these episodes with the guests such as yourself, like, it brings out a certain side of themselves that they can't really talk about or speak on other platforms, I feel. You know what I mean? So usually the conversations are just different and it's tasteful. It's not like I'm over here talking about bullshit. I'm not over here talking about Michael B. Jordan and Lori Harvey group chat. I'm not over here talking about some gossip shit. Like, I want to hear the real stories from artists like you that have these type of perspectives, because I haven't heard this type of shit that you've been saying before from anybody else.
Nah, this is serious. That's why I came on this platform only, because I'm like, man, I even want to have a different type of press run when I do shit. Like, I want to have one long interview instead of doing 20 freestyles and this and that. It's like, man, that shit is played out. People want to know my perspective,
bro. Exactly.
They know I could rap already. Why you hoeing me out, making me freestyle on 80 different platforms? Like, when I could just talk about it on one platform, give my nigga the love, he understand what I'm trying to do and what I stand for, give it to him, maybe do some press here or there for a song or two. But like, overall, the people just want to see a good perspective.
Exactly. And getting inside the mind of the way your mind operates is important to me too, because I mean, we talk about the music, right? Like, we touch on it, of course, but at the end of the day, like, these are type of conversations that are kind of exposing how your mind works. And that's like what I'm looking for, is I'm trying to see the way you think and how that's relating to those listening, because there's going to be people listening and watching this right now that are going to get something from it. And the ones that implement it, like you were saying earlier, the actions equal results. Like, you, these are experiences that you have. You're sharing the codes. You know what I mean? With the people.
Yeah, I'm going to continue to, because, you know, motherfuckers deserve that shit. It's like, you can give a motherfucker the world. If they don't know what to do with it, it's just a gift. Like, you know what I mean? That shit don't mean shit. Like, motherfucker, yeah. You can gift a motherfucker a car. If he don't know how to drive, he's going to collect dust. Mm-hmm. Teach a motherfucker to drive first before you gift him with shit. You know, that's what we doing with this platform. And me being here is like, we're teaching y'all how to fucking drive. Here's how you put the key in the fucking ignition and start the car. You know, look around, check your driver. This is your blind spots talking. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we should have a segment called Blind Spots.
Blind Spots.
Where we really get deep and like really tell people. It's like a segment where we really like inform people on specific subjects. Like, once we'll zone in on like producers, or zone in on this or that. Like,
yeah.
One where like producers give game. And it's especially highlighted to help people and bring awareness and knowledge to a certain area that they might not even know is there, because it's your blind spot. So y'all better make sure you check that, you know? So.
Yeah, and with that said, like, a producer's game and gems is going to apply to other producers, but it may not apply to, like, photographers or graphic designers, you know what I mean? Because a graphic designer needs to give that person game, like...
Graphic designer tell you, oh yeah, get this program right here because it helped me out. Da, da, da. Like, it's only $10. Da, da, da. It's like, oh, I didn't even know that existed. Thank you for the check my blind spot on this. Make sure y'all, you know, little game, little tips, but it could be a segment in the interview. Like, you'll do an interview with somebody and then they'd be like, okay, we're going to do the little blind spot segment. Da, da, da. We're going to just cut this in. Da, da, da. Like,
get that bit sponsored.
Little shit like that is serious, because it's like, this platform is serious to me because I got a network of people that need to get their shit off too.
Yeah.
And they don't. They can't afford the big press runs. It isn't that. Not everybody got the fucking the movement to move like that. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, we bring shit to here. It's like homegrown shit. Like, this is just inspiring me, like, to do, like, you know what I mean?
Bro, so, I've been thinking about that this since you started. Like, I feel like you have a lot of ideas to share and inspiration to give to those that are early in their come up. I feel like you would be perfect for a podcast or your own show.
Yeah,
most definitely. Personality.
Most definitely. I definitely feel like I've bred for that because I talk to myself all the time, you know? So I'm just like
introspective.
I'm always running a podcast in my head either way. So it's like, that's why this conversation is so natural. Like, this is going to be like probably one of the most pillar conversations on this show because the way we flow so naturally and like the way it is like, when you're being authentic and you being yourself and you understand like what value is, people don't care about, like, as much as my album is great and as much as everything is good, like, the people aren't here for that. The people are here because it's a great produced show. The production value is great. It looks good. This guy seems like he's being himself. And it looks like, from what I can see, he's like, doesn't want to bullshit with us. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, so once people could get past the fact that he's not bullshitting, they're looking for the value.
Bro, exactly. Look at the track record. Look at my past episodes. Look at the past guests and look at what they've said and talked about. You know,
real
what
shit
we're talking about is solidified.
That's a fact. That's the only reason why I'm here. So it's like, that's a true in itself. Like, if he would have never started, niggas wouldn't even be here. If I'd never seen it, like, okay, this is something dope. This is like an actual, he takes this shit serious. And that's what makes me like, initially want to like give my best because I know that it's going to be portrayed the best.
Shit, well, you did that today. I got one last question though. Like, what if you could speak to that Huey Briss that was first starting off in your career, or you could give them a piece of advice or say something that might resonate, what would you say?
If I could, I would do more shit. I would have talked more shit. I would have dissed more people.
This, you know? So this level of confidence that you have now, you would have
been way more. Like, I'm glad you can't look in the future, because I would have been like, oh, y'all motherfuckers don't know what I'm about to do.
Yeah.
You know, like, I would have definitely been more sure of myself in a lot of situations. I would have avoided a lot of shit. Like, a lot of things that I deal with right now are every problem in my life that I'm dealing with right now is a product of something that happened in the era of my life when I wasn't sure.
Okay.
It's like everything. Like, believe it or not, my child and that quote unquote drama is the least drama in my life. Like, for another person, that would be like number one.
100%.
That is literally the easiest part of my life.
Wow.
I'm dealing with so much other shit from me not doing the right things in the early beta stages of Huey Briss that it's like, fuck, bro. Like, I wish I would have been way more confident. I wish I would have never had certain people around. I wish people weren't even connected to me in this way.
But you had to, like, you had to go through it to learn it.
Because now I know, like, the value of having people around that are valuable. Like,
yeah,
just because, like, a lot of things I did back in the day was like for ego boost. Like, I knew I was dope. I knew I would get to a certain point, so I would hang around people that like kind of like groomed that and made that the highlight instead of like who I was as a person and like what I'm actually capable of. That's the true value of someone. Like, the fact that we can have a conversation and we have respect for one another, that shit is like what makes me like, okay, cool. Like, when I'm at a certain point, I want to make sure I double back and do it again,
bro,
and
please
turn up again. And
yeah,
like, when he's at a certain point, he's like, oh, I see Huey might not be where he's at. Let me turn him up. Like, our TikTok's going crazy. Let me give him a segment.
Yeah.
Let me do this, do that. It's like, oh, wow. Like, luckily, I was a real person and wasn't on no bullshit just because it was a fucking Sony in front of us. You know what I mean? Like, who gives a shit, bro? Like, what do you stand for, bro? I got a full child in the room right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that shit, like, when the camera shut off, you cut this light off, you close your windows, bro, you live a real life.
100%. You know we all mean? Do, yeah.
So it's like, that's what I want to portray to the people and give them value so I could get 1,000 fans. Because there's more than 1,000 people that's going to see this. But what I say and how I treat you and how I treat myself and all that shit matters, bro. People are really tuned into this shit. People would rather watch an interview than listen to his album. Yeah. Any day.
Especially when you have a perspective like yours, you know, because not all artists think this way. Not all musicians and professional creatives like think like this either, you know? So it's like you have more to offer other than just your music. And that's why conversations like this are important, so people can see that. Because people might love Huey for the music, but once they hear you talking like this, it's a whole other thing. You gain like fan on, I feel like, a different type of level. You know what I mean? And going back to what you were saying earlier, like you're paying for the mistakes or happenings of your past. I feel like the same can be true in the other way, where, you know, the moves that you're making right now, you can reap the benefits from those in 4 or 5 years, you know? Like it could work the other way too.
Yeah, they do. That's what the circle is, the infinity circle. So that's why it's all about how you look at it. Like I can dwell on what I haven't done, what I did, you know what I mean? And what, you know, haven't done and that what I should have did. But in reality, like, that's just the problems that I deal with now. Like, my life wouldn't even be this dope if I didn't have those problems.
Exactly.
Like, that shit keeps me going. Like, the fact that people that may not like me see me right now doing interviews, see me on high level shit, it's like, the real value in Huey Briss is that Huey Briss could take a situation that maybe wasn't like quote unquote clouded or attended to, and I can make that shit cool. Like, if you really are cool, bro, and you really have that factor in you, you can make something cool. You can make people, you can influence people to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that shit is responsibility in itself. So like, the problems that I dealt with back then, like, I would just tell myself, like, you know, like, really, like, really talk your shit and really let people know, because later on, you're going to look like a visionary. Like, you know what I mean? People going to see. Luckily, I was talking my shit, but
yeah,
I would have did more.
You would have done more.
I would have did more work. None of them songs mattered back then, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have did more open bikes. I'd have did more shit. I'd have just walked into people's shit. Just did more. I'd have tried to get 1,000 fans before I even dropped really some good shit.
Mm-hmm.
Just off of pure, like, damn, this guy is like outside, like.
Yeah, and develop that fan base.
I wish I would have did that before. So when I actually dropped something that was good, they could be like more champion it. I was so focused on like real life shit that I didn't realize, like, bro, you're really a fucking star. Like, you shouldn't even be worried about this shit. Like, don't trip. Like, don't even yell at this person. Don't text him back. Don't do this. Like, you don't have to do that. Like, you're good. Like, let time pass. Like, that's what I would tell myself, really, seriously. Like, talk your shit about your music and focus on that. Don't really focus on real life shit. Like, that shit's gonna pass.
Fire. Well, we'll end on that. Where can people follow your journey if they want to continue to follow Huey Briss on socials and all those other platforms?
My website is brissdontmiss.com, Briss with two S's, and everything else is at Huey Briss, HueyBriss.
You on the threads?
I made a thread, but...
You made a thread? What's your thoughts on that?
I'm getting old, man.
It's a lot.
It's like, they just told me to do the TikTok. I just got familiar with that, man. And now y'all hit me with a thread. It's like, if y'all hit me with one more app, I'm just going to throw the whole phone away, man. I can't do it.
Bro, 100%. It's like, it's a full-time job trying to market yourself on these platforms, too.
Bro, I need a social media team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to just send y'all pictures with the caption and y'all post the shit at the appropriate times. Like, I got to post at times.
It's a lot. Well, at any rate, if you're listening, watching this, follow my man Huey Briss on socials. Continue to follow his journey. And I'm going to be tapped in with you, bro, from here on out. I'm looking forward to continued success. Cheers. And we'll see you next time. We'll do a Huey Briss round 2 in another year or so.
Thank you, bro, for real.
Absolutely. Peace.